Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got a dot cam here. This is from Mark Taylor. This is a Google Trends, and of course, what Google does is they scan a bunch of old documents. So they have books going all the way back to the 1700s, and you can search phrases and see how often they've been invoked over the last 200 years. A creedal nation was so important to America's founding that it wasn't mentioned for over 200 years. I guess these are the 200 years. I guess maybe there's a little pop up here. I guess that was when they were trying to, establish the asylum program, circumvent immigration restrictions for the sake of those fleeing the Nazis. So you had a little bump there when it was convenient propaganda at the time. But then it goes silent again until, probably the late 80s, early 90s. So, I guess we were such a creedal nation that, everybody just knew it. We didn't even have to talk about it. We didn't even have to mention that we were a creedal nation. It was just so obvious to everybody. And we didn't even have to define it, It's like Gorsuch said, it was just, it's in the air, right? We all just knew that this is a creedal nation. We just didn't have a term for it yet. It didn't come about for another 200 years. But that's just how, he's a originalist, He loves the founders. He talks endlessly about the founders. He just seems to think the founders had the same morality as radical leftists in the 1960s. That's kind of weird. That's kind of historically illiterate and offensive and frankly quite offensive. But AOC kind of agrees with them, apparently. She thinks black people invented democracy, which is funny. I find that funny. But we can move on. We got the hantavirus nonsense, and I got so much information about the hantavirus to get into. And we got a lot to talk about, just like general, crime, just general crime overall. But I think I also want to talk about, let's go to clip 26 here. This is an interview Thomas Massie went on with Tucker Carlson yesterday and talked about who it is that he's going up against. Let's go to clip, did I just call it out or no? 26, go ahead.
And so just to frame the conversation around that idea, what was your margin of victory in the last race in Kentucky?
In the last race, primary, I got 75% of the vote. There was somebody that got 13% and somebody that got 12%.
75% of the vote.
And in the race before that, I got 76%. And then the race before that, I got 81%.
81%. Now, the race you get 81%, you were already having conflict with Trump at the time, right?
Yeah. At the time, he was saying to throw me out of the party, he called me a third-rate grandstander, to which I claim I'm at least second-rate.
Fair. So I'm going through this because I think it leads to today and it makes a really interesting point. So what is the current polling in your race?
It's a single point lead for me. It's not very fluid. They've spent $10 million against me. And when I say they, I hope we get into they.
Yes.
It's going to be close. It's just going to be, the result is going to be based on who turns out.
So it was 81% margin, 76, 75, like full on blowouts in the Republican primary in your district in Kentucky. And now it's within a couple of points and you could lose.
Correct.
And the difference is they have spent $10 million against you. So I don't think anyone would dispute that. That's the difference. The money poured into this race from outside of Kentucky is basically pushing you to the point of almost losing, and you may lose. Where'd that money come from?
Well, it didn't come from regular people. It's come from billionaires, and 95% of it, at least 95%, has come from the Israeli lobby. So I'll give you their proxies. The RJC, which is the Republican Jewish Coalition, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and John Paulson went together. They funded a PAC.
We'll show you more
MAGA,
from
Kentucky.
This conversation between Thomas Massie and Tucker Carlson on the other side, but this really is a political contest that will define whether we're a country or whether we are just a plantation of Israel. Does it matter if you support actual American values, or does your support of Israel the only?
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live on alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. Don't you trust anyone? Wondering what... Can we take calls? Can we take calls? I thought I heard Alex taking calls today. We can. Okay. We'll take calls in the last hour. Because I want to crowdsource ideas for like contest we could hold for getting alexjoneslive.com out there. We got a lot of options, and InfoWars sort of pioneered a lot of guerrilla marketing campaigns. I think we need to bring some of those back. I don't know, banners behind airplanes, blimps over political events, contests where you have to shout it out if you see a news giving live coverage and you can get it out over the airwaves. Calling into calling shows like C-SPAN and mentioning it. There's a lot of ways that you can help us get the word out that Alex Jones is not dead. The movement is not dead. The spirit of InfoWars lives on and is at this moment fighting for its life in this transition period. This little studio we have here, this is our cocoon. Okay? This is our cocoon. And when we emerge from this, we will be beautiful butterflies. But as of now, we are sort of melting down. We're melting down into our, you know, component parts to reconstitute ourselves into beautiful butterflies or perhaps some sort of deadly moth. We don't know. We're metamorphosizing is what we're doing. And we need your help to do this. I mean, in a lot of ways, we're sort of victims of our own success. People kind of stopped believing that we were going to be shut down because we kept successfully fighting off the shutdown. Now that we've been shut down, I have the feeling people are like, yeah, they'll be fine. Yeah, they survive everything. Yeah, they'll make it through. It's like, well, only because you've helped us, only because you've been there for us, only because we've worked like dogs behind the scenes to make all of this happen. We actually do need your help. We actually do need your prayers, your participation in this, you're not just sitting on the sidelines, but recognizing this is a call to action. This is a clarion call. This is the sounds of the church bells rolling over the town, warning you that an invasion is on and you need to grab your pitchfork and get to the walls as soon as possible. This is your clarion call. And we make it just incredibly easy for you. I mean, the easiest thing is just sharing the link. It is just telling your friends. It is just, you know, tuning in or, you know, I don't know. Is it illegal to change the channel or like turn us on in like electronic stores? That's always fun. That's always a fun thing to do when they've got the demo computers hooked up to the internet. AlexJonesLive.com. Enter. Move to the next one. AlexJonesLive.com. Enter. Just who knows? Who knows what will come of that? And honestly, really, you know, we'll have calls from people that are like, I'm a diehard Alex Jones supporter. I've been here for 20 years and I first was revealed to you because some random kid on a college campus gave me a DVD he burned on his own. He went, here, you got to watch this, man. Learn about Obama. And it was the Obama deception. My life was changed and I've been a dedicated info warrior ever since. I mean, that's the type of stuff that actually breaks through. And you might not think you just going out and doing that is going to have that big of an impact, but if it's you and it's 100,000 people like you and you talk to 100 people, I mean, it's exponential. That's how you get a movement going. You can't just sit back and watch this. You can, of course. I mean, that's your option, but I don't know how you could. I don't know how you can watch this stuff and not be compelled to get involved, not be compelled to participate in this when you see the way that this is only possible because of the mass activity of our enemies. You know, there's a post today that I saw, and apparently Japan, for some reason, for some godforsaken reason, has decided after 10,000 years of isolation that now, all of a sudden, having survived Genghis Khan multiple times, having survived intrusions from just literally all of their neighbors, America itself, like, after literally in the entire history of the earth being an isolated island nation, for some reason, they have decided they need to import Muslims. They need to import Pakistanis. The one thing Japan was missing was a bunch of crazy cave people. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, but it's sick and it's wrong and it's racist against the Japanese. And I'm, you know, just like we look to the Irish and we go, you guys have spent hundreds of years fighting imperialism, hundreds of years giving your blood to save your nation from foreign intervention. We look to you to stand up against what's being done to you. Same with Japan. It's like if you guys can't resurrect some modicum of that imperial spirit, that bonsai spirit, and stand up for yourselves, we really are lost. And what I saw, the post was a shrine, a Shinto shrine in Japan, which again, it's just, I mean, you want to talk about the most beautiful places in the world, go to a temple in Japan. It's, you feel like you're in a fairy tale. Literally. You feel like you're walking around Willy Wonka's factory. It's like, you're like, how did humans make this? Like, you literally walk around, you're like, I'm pretty sure angels helped because I don't know how they can get trees to behave like that. Like, it's crazy how beautiful these places are. And then you see the image of one utterly destroyed by a gang of Pakistani immigrants who just like tear down the 2,000-year-old tree and tear up the 2,000-year-old monuments and just leave it a mess. And the person who posted that said, you know, when a synagogue is defaced or a, you know, Muslim mosque is attacked, it's world news and it's this giant, you know, it's a big deal. People care about it and they talk about it and the government activates to do something about it. And you see that and you go, that's our fault. You can't exactly be mad at that. Why does everybody freak out when a synagogue gets attacked or a mosque gets attacked? Because the Muslims and the Jews don't let it go. They don't stand by and go, oh, what's happening here? This is awful. Better move. I better leave, I guess. It's like, no, they go, what the hell is this? And they go to their government and they say, we're not leaving you alone until you handle this, till you do something about this. This was an attack on us and we're not standing for it. That's just the way you need to be. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, y'all. If you want to not have your culture destroyed, you have to stand up and defend it. It's not that complicated. The reason nobody's freaking out about a Shinto shrine being destroyed is because nobody's freaking out about a Shinto shrine being destroyed. You don't care enough about it. Same thing with us. We didn't care enough when they were tearing down our statues. You can't be mad that nobody cares about your culture being destroyed if you aren't standing up for your culture. You expect other people to? Why? Because we stand up for their culture and we expect some sort of recompense? No, you're an idiot. That's never going to happen. Never going to happen. So you have to stand up against this. You have to be the ones to oppose the destruction of your culture, obviously. And really the easiest way to do it is to fund the most powerful defense against the intrusion of these cultural arsonists, of these vandals. Support the Alex Jones Network. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make a purchase. Improve your own life. You might actually, you know, have the energy and wherewithal to actually stand up against this if you are properly supplemented. Don't let the modern poisons surrounding you bear you down and weigh you down and make you unwilling to stand up. They really are trying to sap your energy and all of your precious bodily fluids. And you know what we got? You know what we got, folks? It's been a long time. And I feel like you've felt the absence, even if you didn't know. You see it right there. You see it already. It's the great, the classic, the long-awaited BOGO Sups, y'all. It's BOGO Sups. Buy one, get one supplements. 48-hour BOGO sale is on right now. If you buy one Methylene Blue tincture, you get one Methylene Blue tincture absolutely free. Buy one CMOS gummy, get one CMOS gummy bottle absolutely free. It's buy one, get one supplements on the Alex Jones Store, thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue tincture, of course, is that incredibly powerful supplement that has really changed the game for us and for so many of you out there. It supports mental clarity, cognitive function, cellular energy, and mitochondrial performance, which means it's getting into the very powerhouse of your cells and helping to resist the effects of age that we all experience in the degradation of the ability of the cells to transmit energy. Methylene Blue helps make up some of that degradation that you experience just as a natural consequence of age. CMOS gummies, on the other hand, support thyroid health, immune health, and of course, as your natural energy and daily minerals. And of course, it's one of the ones I take regularly. I think I'll take one right now. These are the CMOS capsules. I believe it's two of these. I like the gummies too, but the capsules right now are the buy one, get one free. So BOGO Sups on the CMOS capsules. I also, of course, always enjoy the CMOS, yeah, Ultimate CMOS, and then the Shilajit. I get those confused sometimes, but they're both incredibly powerful, but do slightly different things. I thought we had Shilajit gummies here somewhere. Where are my Shilajit gummies? I am going to freak out if I don't get my Shilajit gummies right now. But you can get yours at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And I do want to go to some more of these videos of Thomas Massie because he really gave a bombshell interview to Tucker Carlson, talking not only about who it is exactly that is sponsoring his opponents. That's why I said at the end of the last segment, this really is a contest to determine what it even means to be a Republican. Because except for supporting Israel, Thomas Massie is the quintessential Republican. Now, the question is whether supporting Israel is a core Republican tenet or not. They like to say that it is. I think it's actually counter to our ideology as Republicans. But the construct that's being created now is it's the only thing that matters. The only thing you need to be a Republican is to support Israel. And if you don't support Israel, you're not a Republican. You're a traitor. Thomas Massie, small government. He's got like a 99%, conservative voting record. He freaking built his house with his own hands using trees that he felled on his own. Like, the man is a quintessential American frontiersman archetype. And he has absolutely kicked butt and had major legislative success in Congress. I mean, let's not forget, how crazy would this be? Thomas Massie actually uses the legislature in the way that it's intended to be used. Now, the legislature, half the time, it's a rubber stamp for whatever the executive wants. The other half, it's just there. It's a bunch of people just trying to shove their, pork into whatever bill is being passed to get something for themselves so they can sort of pay off in a legal fashion, bribe through legal functions people that they think they need back in their home district. With Thomas Massie, he actually used the legislature to force the release of the Epstein file. He actually used it as a check and a balance against the power of the executive. He actually got Congress to, in a totally organic and legitimate way, come together to force the release of files that the executive branch was unwilling to release to the American people. It is the most pure and successful use of the legislative power I maybe have ever seen in my life. I'm not exaggerating. That's what this is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be that there are actual concerns that the American people want to have addressed, and their representatives get together across party lines even to make that happen. And if one branch of the government is for their own corrupt and, selfish reasons refusing to go along, we have this check and balance policy where they don't get to unilaterally decide that. The legislature can force their hand, and that's exactly what happened. So how weird would it be if Thomas Massie, this champion of the legislature, this hardcore libertarian American champion, goes toe-to-toe with the executive, uses the legislature in exactly the way that it's supposed to be used, gets this bombshell legislation across that, you know, basically kickstarts the biggest story in the last 10 years of American politics, only to immediately lose his House seat, only to immediately get kicked to the curb because a bunch of foreign money gets poured into his race and some dude nobody's ever heard of who refuses to debate, refuses to do anything, happens to get approved by Fox News and Miriam Adelson. It's, we need this. I like, all I can say is like, America needs Thomas Massey to win. We need this win. Because if it doesn't go to Massey, if it goes to this Israeli shill that's no one's ever heard of, that's got no record what to speak of, who can't possibly, no matter how good he is, hold a candle to Thomas Massey, who's the most real deal he could possibly get, MIT graduate, entrepreneur, self-made man, genius. If that guy gets beaten because a bunch of scumbag idiot criminals can pour infinite fake money they fabricated out of thin air or got from the Chinese government where they currently now hold all of their casinos. That's the other thing. You've got an Israeli, Miriam Adelson, who makes all of her money from China because her casinos, the Sands casinos, they don't have a big operation in America anymore. Almost all of their money at this point comes from Macau, which is controlled by China. So you've got Chinese money flowing through an Israeli operative to fund a fake MAGA candidate. If that succeeds, I'm going to lose all hope. That's it's too blatant. It's too obvious. It's too outrageous. And honestly, I'm going to be pissed off at the people of Kentucky if they fall for this. And I'm going to blame the boomers personally. I'm going to blame the boomers and Fox News. And that's what Thomas Massey said yesterday. Yeah. Ed Gallerain, $5,780,000 spent by pro-Israel lobby groups and their donors. Oh, I know that's Miriam Adelson. The crew's like, this is Miriam. Oh, I'm fully aware of who's getting the American medal from Donald Trump. It's Israeli first Miriam Adelson, who just is like gleeful in how she's able to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. It's pathetic. It's really pathetic what we put up with. Let's go to clip 29 here. This is Thomas Massey showing just how bad it really is when you talk about Israeli control of the American government. Let's watch.
Foreign country to spy on Americans. It's like the ultimate betrayal.
Another fact, when X decided to show you where accounts were based, where they were set up and where they were operated from, the DHS account showed Israel, that it was set up, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's X account was set up using an IP address from Israel, using an Android app for, purchased in Israel. And that doesn't trouble people. Like, there should be an investigation over why, when the DHS set up its Twitter account, it was set up in Israel. Now, they claim, if you ask Grok about this, he'll walk around the bush with you.
Oh, of course.
And say that, well, there were some glitches back in the old day and there were some contractors involved and you can never get to the bottom.
Yeah, you can never get to the bottom of it. Do you understand what he said? The official gold badge X account for DHS, the American Department of Homeland Security, was started in and is run out of Tel Aviv, Israel. We are an occupied nation, folks. This is unacceptable. And what else is there to say? Do I need to explain why it's unacceptable? Do I need to elucidate why it's not anti-Semitic to say that our DHS, our official mouthpiece Twitter account for the Department of Homeland Security of the United States of America, is being run out of a foreign country? Do I need to explain to you why that's a bad thing? Like, this is one of those things. I can't believe that wasn't a bigger deal when it was revealed. We wouldn't make a bigger deal out of it. The official public mouthpiece of the Department of Homeland Security is run out of Tel Aviv, Israel. Let's go to clip 30 now. Here's Thomas Massey again with Tucker Carlson. talking about glyphosate, which again makes him a far leftist, according to the Israelis that call themselves Republicans. Let's watch.
They spray it on ripe wheat to dry it out before they harvest it. Like, this is the food you're going to eat. It's like the next step is to grind it and bake it into bread. And they are just one step away from you eating it. And they're spraying it with glyphosate, the whole plant, so that it will die quickly and dry out quickly and save them some money. Maybe they can get the next crop in there 4 days earlier into that land. And I've been, and by the way, that's been banned in Europe. But not here in the United States. And they say, oh, Congressman Massey, this is only used on 3% of the wheat crops in the United States. First of all, I don't believe that. But if it is true, then why don't we just grow something else there in that 3% where it's too wet to grow wheat? Why don't we grow soybeans or something instead of wheat at that place, or something you don't need glyphosate to dry it out with? Or maybe you'll get 80 or 90% of the yield you would have gotten if you hadn't sprayed poison on it to dry it out quickly.
That's disgusting.
So I do think...
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting. They use glyphosate to dry out the wheat. It's like the last step before they feed it to you. It's why? Why would they do that? That's sort of, it's like at the end of the day, do we need like a constitutional amendment or something? It's like you have to explain the why behind everything, because as soon as you ask why, it all kind of falls apart. Yeah, we spray glyphosate on ready-to-eat wheat to dry it out because we'd have to wait slightly longer if we didn't. It's like, okay, but why? Well, I don't know. Why do we grow it there if it needs to be dried out and desiccated with poison? I don't know. There's no reason. And again, I've just been talking about this for so long with Allison Spanberger and the others. Colorado just... entered the fray as well, where they just are passing. California's did it as well, where there's like, yeah, we just passed a law, or maybe it was Virginia. I think it was California. But they're like, yeah, we're lowering the sentencing requirements for like people who throw rocks onto the highway. Why? But why though? Like, that's it. That's the only question that needs to be asked. Why would you want to lower the punishment for people throwing rocks onto moving cars on the highway? You know, most laws are instigated by some sort of event where it's like, you know, you realize like, hey, you know, we got this crazy law. We got people being sent to jail for these minor things. Like, we gotta undo this. There's nothing minor about throwing rocks at moving cars on the highway. That's attempted murder. Why would you want to decrease the punishment for that if the goal wasn't to increase the amount of people throwing rocks at cars on highways? Like, what are we doing? Why do we do any of this? I can't even talk about politics anymore because it's all that fucking retarded. I'm sorry. But, like, all of it is that stupid. We're going to spray poison on our wheat before we eat it. We're going to lessen the punishment for rapes and throwing rocks at cars on the highway. We're going to give citizenship to everybody who has a baby in America because we're too freaking stupid to understand that the 14th Amendment was written 200 years ago when only white people were allowed to become U.S. citizens. You got rid of the original law. You keep the law that was based on the original law. It's also stupid.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning. But I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules, and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I could do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Take my hand and I'll show you what was and will be.
folks, that is the latest masterpiece. I would consider that a masterpiece from I Can't Even Productions, or I Can't Even Films on X. I don't really understand, because that video, when I saw it yesterday, had been up for like 5 hours and it had like 500 likes. I thought that was brilliant. And maybe people don't get all the references. And I saw people in the comments of that video going, you know, you should really have like, you should do another one that has labels so we can know who everybody is. And it's like, no, that's how we know if you're in the club or not. Now, that's how we have to, if we determine if you're the real deal or not, if you can accurately identify every single frame of that video, then you're a real info warrior. You're a real conspiracy theorist. If not, you've got some studying to do. You've got some documentaries in 480p to watch, my friend, if you don't understand everything that you saw on that screen. We could go through and describe it all. I kind of want to reach out to the guys, see if they want to come on, because that's the third one that they've made, the I Can't Even Productions, and they... Each one has a little bit of a different flavor, and this one was kind of all the old, like the old school conspiracy theories with Tesla and the, you know, anti-gravity machine the Nazis had and all that stuff. The one previously was Epstein running around, you know, being friends with literally everybody. I just think they're absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's art right there. You know, AI may be coming for us all, but... That is absolute art. And if you really understand everything, like there are a lot of subtle things in that. There are a lot of little hints that you might miss if you're not. I've watched it like four times, and every time I saw new stuff, I'm just blown away by how good that production is. It really makes you think, you know, believe in the possibility of AI films, which we are definitely going to need. Maybe we'll stick with that for a second. Cause we got to get into the Iran war and all that sort of stuff. It's a lot of the same. It's a lot of the same nonsense. It's a lot of the same lying and spending all of our money. And we'll get to that in just a second. I also want to take your calls in the next hour. But I do have more to say about Star Wars, folks. And that's what a lot of, like, I don't know if you noticed, one of those frames was the man in the mask, the Eyes Wide Shut character, putting the CIA folder down. The name, I think his name's Chris Carter, if I'm not mistaken. He, of course, is a very famous Hollywood screenwriter who was serving the CIA. Remember, these movies are not there to make money. They aren't consumer products, despite that being the seeming purpose of these movies. They're not. It's not about that. It's about manipulating your mind. It's about shaping the culture. It's about planting ideas in your head without your knowledge by using subtle techniques, subconscious techniques. You know, there's a really famous example of the subconscious programming. I'm blanking on the conspiracy theory word for it right now. But I guess in the 1950s, TV would turn off in the middle of the night. And so right before it would turn off, they would play America the Beautiful or the National Anthem or something. And it was just like, it would be pictures of the Statue of Liberty. And then the words would be scrolling down on the bottom. But if you go frame by frame, you can see that as the words scroll, for a split second, different words show up. So it'll be like consume, follow orders, obey. And it's only there for a split second. You don't really have time to consciously register it. And that was like when they first learned about subconscious implanting of ideas. And they were a little bit ham-fisted with it. Now, at the time, there was no technology to record your television and pause it. So even if you thought like, wait, I think I saw different words in there, you'd have no way to like confirm it. You might seem crazy if you're like, I think the national anthem is telling me to obey them. It's like you would sound crazy. But that's how like ham-fisted they were. That's how they thought they were being subtle. Clearly, that motivation is still there. The technique is much more sophisticated now. They've had 70, 80 years of figuring out how exactly to implant ideas into people's heads. It's not so much, you know, oh, look, it says the word sex in the dust of the Lion King. Now it's like we're beating you over the head with it, but somehow people don't see it still. The story is from Fandom Pulse, because this is, again, another illustration, more emphasis that the point of these movies is propaganda. It's not about making money. And if they wanted to make money, they would have made different movies. Nielsen data released around Star Wars Day tells a story Disney's been avoiding for years. U.S. viewers watched 33 billion minutes of Star Wars content in 2025. The top three most streamed titles were A New Hope, The Phantom Menace, and Rogue One. Not one sequel trilogy film cracked the top 10. The Force Awakens and its sequels did not make the cut. The Acolyte, despite Disney spending years trying to sell audience on High Republic-adjacent storytelling in a recent media campaign saying people were discovering it, was not there. Fans watched 637 million minutes of Star Wars content on May 4th alone, but the modern feminist Star Wars was not watched. The generational breakdown makes the situation worse for Disney sequel ambitions. Generation Alpha and Baby Boomers watched The Mandalorian the most. Gen Z watched The Clone Wars. Millennial and Gen X watched Andor. Across every demographic, the sequel trilogy and The Acolyte were notably absent from their top performing titles. Disney spent a decade in three theatrical films trying to position Rey, Kylo Ren, and Finn as a new emotional backbone of Star Wars for younger viewers, including branding their theme park Galaxy's Edge with a new character. The data says it doesn't work. Even Gen Z, the demographic that grew up with these films, reaches past them towards George Lucas era material. Again, do you think that was an accident? Like, they knew what they were doing. The Force is female. The, like, deliberate humiliation of the male characters, the woman with the purple hair, and the world-breaking strategies. I mean, come on. Come on. You don't think they could have just told a good story? You don't think they could have just come up with something new? They had to take the old story, remake it completely. This is the Acolyte, where they made a lesbian witch coven create women out of that compete with Dune's female cast. Did they though? How'd that work out? How'd that go for them? Yeah, you know, God only knows how these decisions get made, but clearly the people making them have souls that are repulsive. They have underlying characteristics about them that make them kind of like cockroaches, kind of like the same repulsive feeling you get when you see a cockroach scuttle across your face. That's how people feel when they watch Star Wars now. And that's because there's a similar soul shared between them. But this, I think, is important. Three things are converging here, talking about what's happening with Star Wars or just Hollywood in general. Again, this isn't, you know, I know people are like, we're here to hear about the war. This is the war. This is the information war. Movies, Hollywood, popular culture is a main battlefront, a main battlefield of the information war. There is a war on for your mind. And people think they're watching mindless entertainment. They're being implanted with ideas they don't even know are there. But how did this come about? But how did they take what used to be, even when I was growing up, I mean, hell, when I was 9 years old, it was probably the best year for movies, like, of all time. 1999, The Matrix, Fight Club, like, there were so many unbelievable movies that all expressed a sort of, you know, common anxiety with the idea of, like, these hidden worlds, of everything is not as it seems, of a general, like, dissatisfaction with the way the world is, but an inability to actually put your hands around it. Like, movies reflect the spirit of their age, and the spirit of our age is that a bunch of incompetent losers have taken popular things and have skinned them and are wearing the human leather on their face and telling them that we're Star Wars. It's like, you're not Star Wars. You murdered Star Wars and are wearing its face as a mask because you're the Empire. Okay, so how did it get this way? How did it get so bad in Hollywood to where they can't even keep Star Wars going, for the love of God? Well, the first, and this is from Promakos, Promakos underscore on X. I guess he's a Spanish guy because this has been translated, but it says, I think three things converge here, and the underlying problem is serious, even if it's just entertainment. The first is structural. It's that the major studios signed formal diversity commitments after 2020 due to pressure from institutional funds like BlackRock with their ESG ratings. And the Hollywood Academy introduced the new inclusion rules in 2021 to qualify for the Oscar for Best Picture. You need a lead actor from a racial minority or 30% of the supporting cast to be or a diverse creative team. And this isn't some conspiracy theory or anything like that. It's a rule written right in their own website. So race swapping stops being a free artistic decision and becomes a material condition for accessing funding and awards. Basically, as of today, Hollywood could not make a historically faithful movie about the Middle Ages in Germany, for example, because it couldn't meet the racial quota. On top of that, there's a marketing angle, which has its own perverse logic. From what I've been reading in Variety and Hollywood Reporter, part of the industry had assumed, since the case of The Last Jedi in 2017, that identity controversies gift them weeks of trending topics, podcasts, YouTube videos, and endless debate. This is what I mean by, like, they kind of don't have souls, you know? Like, that's kind of a soulless way to interpret what's going on. I mean, the soulless thing is what they do in the first place, but then the reaction to the reaction is like even more soulless. Does that understand what you mean? Or do you understand what I'm saying here? So they go in and they deliberately destroy things that you love because you love them, right? Oh, Star Wars is loved by white men. Let's destroy it. Let's stick it to them. Let's eliminate it. Let's not let them have anything of their own. We're going to colonize and distort it beyond recognition. And then people go, well, what the hell is this? Why are you doing this? This isn't good. Why are you injecting modern political nonsense into our sci-fi, epic, space opera fantasy? What are you doing? And then the people who did it in the first place are like, oh my God, we're getting so much attention. We're getting so much. People are talking about us. This is good. This is good. If we just piss off more people by ruining the things they love, if we just continue to churn out creatively bankrupt nonsense, people will keep criticizing us, and that keeps us in the news cycle. It's like, don't you have souls? Where is your soul? Who did you sell it to? Was his name Satan? Because that's what it sounds like. That's an awful lot what it sounds like. Because if I were to see that my core audience despised the thing that I made, I would be like, oh, this is bad. But they've taken this like, well, there's all publicity is good publicity. It's like, really? Because 99% of your publicity is people just making fun of you and literally getting more views than you. The new Star Trek show, the Academy, Star Trek Academy show, they were so desperate to get eyes on that, they released the entire episode, like the first entire episode, or maybe the finale or something, on YouTube in full. And it has like less than 500,000 views. Like, I'm pretty sure more people are watching me at this very moment than have ever seen the new Star Trek show that they spent like hundreds of millions of dollars to make. And you have people like Nerdrotic or The Critical Drinker, whose criticisms of Star Trek are getting two or three times as many views as the show itself. I wonder if it's because they're white men. I wonder if it's because they're white men and everybody's racist. Could be that. Okay, but again, there's a reason why we call the Fed the head of the snake and why we talk about all of this coming from the banks, because it always comes from the banks. BlackRock is the world government at this point, and it uses its monopolistic control of the money system to force this stuff down your throat. Now you've got Larry Fink going, oh, wokeness is over. We're moving on. People don't like it. They forced it on everyone against their will. They told the big studios, you'll be bankrupt if you don't ham-fistedly shoehorn in black people and lesbians into your content. And now it's like, is it any wonder that nobody's watching the Oscars? Is it any wonder that these culturally significant events in America have degraded to the point that, you know, maybe on Monday you're like, oh, the Oscars were yesterday. Okay. Who cares? I don't even care who won. I don't even know who's like, nobody cares, because it's not about what makes the best movie. You're not saying I won the Oscar for Best Picture, therefore I was the best movie that year. You're saying I won this pat on the head from the corrupt, elite, Epstein-affiliated bankster class for being a good little slave. It's your reward for being a good little house slave, you absolute Quisling, bootlicking scum. You're supposed to be artists. We're the artists. We stand up against power. Here comes Larry Fink stepping on your face and saying, are you going to put minorities in? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Of course. We'll get rid of all the white people. Don't worry. We hate them, too. Oh, gee, I wonder why. And like, really, the thing that pisses me off the most about it, with everything else going on in the world, we can't even have entertainment. We can't even have good comedy. We can't have something to escape from the hell of the world. You can't just make something light and entertaining or compelling or that reinforces the human spirit, that reminds you of what life is worth. No, instead, we got to go in and we got to listen to a bunch of drama student teenagers, you know, bitch about their interpersonal life, only they're doing it on a spaceship in a different galaxy. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. It always boils down to this, like, high school level drama. That is the height of their creative capability. Go watch Star Trek. It's not adult military people. I mean, the first scene in the reboot of Star Wars, I mean, Star Trek, rather. So the reboot of Star Trek with the new young Captain Kirk. The first scene is him violating the prime directive and being rewarded for it. What? It's like making a movie about Jesus, and the first scene is him like running away from the resurrection or from the crucifixion or something. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, put a chick in it, make it lame or lame and gay. Or we bankrupt you because you have to. You know, should have a whip in his hand while he says that. And it's not just, remember, ESG is 100% a fabrication of BlackRock. It is a violation of their fiduciary responsibility. It's a violation of discrimination law. It's just a violation of everything. And they just do it and just everybody goes along with it because they're the powerful ones. They're the ones that will silence or bankrupt you if you oppose them, which is the exact reason you should oppose them, because you're not supposed to put up with bullies in America. But we've all become weak. We've all become weak is a nice way of saying it. But do you remember when the first deplatforming happened? Do you remember what website was the first to start the trend of deplatforming people for off-site behavior? Do you remember it was Patreon? I'm pretty sure getting rid of like the Daily Stormer or something. I can't remember who the first was. We never had a Patreon, but Patreon was the first. And they made the mistake of being honest about it. They made the mistake of letting the people that they kicked off their platform know we're doing this because MasterCard told us. Because the banks came in and dictated you have to silence that person or we're taking your whole company offline. So of course they silence that one person. Would you? I mean, what, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to sacrifice their entire billion-dollar company for one person they don't even agree with? No, they're happy to go along with it. But it was MasterCard that forced them into it. It was the banks that started the trend of mass deplatforming that, of course, culminated and climaxed probably with kicking off Alex Jones from every platform on a single day and Tim Cook of Apple saying it's a sin to have his stuff on your platform. But it was the banks. It was the banks that did this. It was the banks that started ESG. And it's the corporation's fault for going along with it. It's the, you know, underling's fault for capitulating to these demands. But at the end of the day, this is why I cannot have any respect for, like, just literally any leftist in this country. Anybody that falls for any of this crap, who all think that they're fighting the power. They are all servants of evil. They all are slobbering slaves of the people they think they're fighting. Do you know how stupid you have to be literally following hook, line, like, step by step, swallowing absolutely everything that they're shoving down your throat, these giant Zionist bankers, and they're out there going, we fight the power. You know, we're not afraid to stand up against power when it comes down. Oh, unless it's Larry Fink putting a boot on your neck, and then you're happy. You thank him. Thank you, Larry Fink. Thank you for destroying our industry. Thank you for making us a laughingstock. Thank you for destroying intellectual properties that we loved. How these people get away with it is beyond me. Then again, it's all tied in together, right? So this article continues. Way more reach than a beloved but quietly received movie. Attention is a scarce resource now in a world oversaturated with content, not quality. The funny thing is that the strategy generates noise, but not box office. The Little Mermaid, Snow White in 2025, The Marvels, Wish, they all tanked. The audience is becoming immune or outright hostile, and the specialized press is already acknowledging that. And then there's the ideological part, which is where, which is the one that's usually discussed. There's sincere identity conviction in part of Hollywood. People trained in U.S. universities with postmodern decolonial framework who see race swapping as restorative justice for a film history that's too white. It's too white. Meaning it has white people. Meaning it was created by and for white people, by white people in a white country. Because we developed the technology to create the films in the first place. Sorry for developing the technology necessary to make movies and then appearing in them because we did it. Ridiculous. As ridiculous as going to China and being like, there's so many Chinese people in this movie. What the hell? Why are there so many Koreans in this Korean movie? And there's nothing but Nigerians in the Nigerian movie. This is an outrage. Call Larry Fink immediately. Larry Fink's like, I hate white people. What do you not understand about this? I love when Nigerians do all Nigerian stuff. That's diversity.
Huge new mega sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture. The bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra brain booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market for the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off, that's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. Thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, the sister site of thealexjonesstore.com, realalexjones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition T-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, skull crusher, brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like 100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Share the life, he's now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.